Morning, everybody. Let's pray before we start, shall we? Thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us here today. Thank you, Lord, that you've prepared what you want to say to us this morning. Help us to listen to all that you're saying to us and to apply this to our lives. Amen. So now let's look at today's reading, which is Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and this is on page 78 of your church Bibles. And it says this: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." This is strong stuff, isn't it? For the Lord to say that he will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name shows how important this is to him. When we misuse the Lord's name, he takes it personally. It's an attack on him. Our name is part of who we are. Our name defines us. People who care about us don't do this to us. They don't treat us badly, and they certainly would not make sport of our name or use it for their own end. Yet people do that to the Lord, to his name, all the time, even those who profess to be his people. It really is disgraceful and unbelievable that it should be necessary for the Lord to have to give us this command, not to misuse his name. The Lord has even had to command his people not to have any other gods before him. This is disgraceful. All this should not be necessary. It should be a given that we're not going to do this. But here is a living God having to make commands about those things that should be his by right. This is the very least that he should expect from us. But because of the effects of sin in the world, the Lord has had to give us these commands. Just think about it. No other religion in the world has to build this kind of thing into the laws and commands concerning the gods they worship. It's a given. They won't seek other gods or speak badly about their God. Gods that are not really gods at all. Yet the living God, who created all things, has had to give these commands even to his own people. Now, I don't want to say too much about other gods because Dale and Andrew are preaching about this over the next 2 weeks. But the fact that the Lord has had to command his people not to have any other gods before him or to misuse his name is a disgrace. This should not be necessary. So, we're commanded not to misuse the Lord's name. So what are the names of the Lord? Next picture, please, Don. Well, the Lord's got a lot of names and titles. But these are the names that he's given to us, for us to use when we're speaking to him or about him. These are the main ones that we use in the society that we live in. Jesus Christ, or just Jesus. The Lord, or Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, the Saviour, God, or Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father. Now, obviously, like I said, the Lord has a lot more names than these, but these are the main ones that we use in our society. And there are several ways we can misuse the name of the Lord. There's the way that the church misuses it, and then there's the way that society and the world at large misuses it. So how does the church misuse the name of the Lord? Well, we can behave like some of the Old Testament prophets who spoke in the Lord's name, knowing that in fact the Lord had not spoken to them at all. They did it to make themselves look important in other people's eyes and in order to achieve their own ends. And we can misuse the Lord's name in this way. We can use his name to help us get our own way, to try and add weight to what we're saying or doing. By doing this, what we're really trying to do is to get the Lord on our side and to somehow get his support. But in reality, we're not entitled to any support at all from him because we're only trying to get our own way. The Lord will not give us his support when what we are doing is simply trying to get what we want. So whatever we do in the Lord's name, we must be sure that it is what the Lord is saying and is what he wants us to be doing. Another way that we misuse the Lord's name is when we swear on oath, for example, in court, and say we're going to tell the truth and then lie. Or we make promises in the Lord's name that we have no intention of keeping. And again, we're only using the Lord's name for our own benefit. We can't use the Lord's name as a refuge for our own bad behaviour. Next slide, please. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you've not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we're safe?" The Lord will not protect and defend us when we're doing things in his name that are wrong. Next picture, please, Lord. This is the main misuse of the Lord's name in the church among God's people. We use the Lord's name in order to try and get what we want. But how does society and the world at large misuse his name? Well, they misuse it by using it as a swear word in conversation. And this is the main misuse of the Lord's name in the world that we live in. The Lord's name is misused in this way more than in any other. Next picture, please, Doug. The Lord's name is the only name I know of that's used as a swear word. I don't know of any other person's name used in this way. I've given this much thought, and I can't think of one swear word that is another person's name other than the Lord's, which is really disgraceful. And this misuse of his name is a worldwide thing. The Lord's name is used as a swear word all the time, in films and in television programs, and people think nothing of using his name this way. I wonder how much the Lord's name will be misused over the Christmas period. Next one, please, Don. In Isaiah 6, verse 5, the prophet says this: "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." The Lord touched Isaiah's lips and made his mouth clean, because he was being sent to be a prophet and to speak to God's people. And we as God's people need to have clean lips if we're going to speak out for the Lord to those around us during these dark times. What Isaiah is saying here in this reading applied to me for most of my adult life. And this is the reality, I think, for most of us in the society that we live in. We do live among a people of unclean lips. But our eyes have seen the Lord. So we need to endeavour to be a people of clean lips, a holy people. Next slide, please, Don. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 to 37, Jesus elaborates on oath-taking or swearing, and he says this. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So Jesus makes it clear that we're not to swear at all. Not only are we not to misuse the Lord's name in this way, but Jesus tells us not to swear at all. So we have two commands from the Lord. First of all, the Lord tells us not to misuse his name, and then Jesus tells us not to swear at all. And these two commands are connected, because if we get into the way of swearing, we could end up using the Lord's name as a swear word, just like the people in the world do. People who don't care about the Lord at all. So Jesus tells us not to swear. You see, Jesus knew that small things can sometimes lead to bigger things. So Jesus warns us not to get into the habit of swearing in any way at all. Next picture, please, Don. Many of us can relate to what Isaiah says when he declares that he's a man of unclean lips and lives among a people of unclean lips. This is the reality of life for many of us when we leave here on a Sunday morning and go back home to our families, back into our places of work. And it's not easy when we're surrounded by this to keep our own lips clean. But having clean lips among a people of unclean lips is an unspoken witness to them. I want to share with you now the story of my own journey on this road about swearing and what the Lord's done for me. Next picture, please, Don. I grew up in a home where swearing was normal everyday practice. I think every word that came out my mum's mouth was a swear word, bless her. But it was just normal life. As children, we didn't swear, weren't allowed to. But as an adult, I swore, you know, nothing bad. But I would swear, you know. And then I became a Christian 43 years ago and realised that I wasn't supposed to be swearing at all. You know, this wasn't on. And I said to the Lord, well, I don't understand. I don't see what the problem is. I mean, it's only words. What? You know, I needed to understand. And I felt the Lord say to me, it makes your mouth dirty. Now, that's what he was saying in Isaiah, and I didn't know anything about Isaiah then, but that's when I felt the Lord say to me, it makes your mouth dirty. And once I knew that, I still carried on swearing, but once I knew that, it always bothered me. It was always a problem to me. I was always apologising to the Lord for it. And then I'd try and stop, and sometimes I'd manage a whole day. Sometimes I'd manage 2 days, and I thought it was rather good, but then I'd always slip up. And about 6 years ago, I said to the Lord, I said, it's no good. I can't do this. I just can't do it. I mean, I've tried. I've really tried. But I can't do this. I went to bed. I got up the next morning and I knew something had shifted in me. I knew it had. I haven't sworn since. I don't swear. Something's just gone. There's just been twice in 6 years that I've said something. But I don't have, it's not in me. There's nothing there. I don't try. It's just not there. So I'm grateful to the Lord that he's done that for me, you know. Now this might be something that, and if you do, a good place to start on the road to having clean lips is to first of all acknowledge before God that swearing is wrong and to ask the Lord to help you with this. And also ask the Lord to help you understand the importance of having clean lips. See, it's so easy for us to think, well, I don't swear badly. It's not much that I do. But it's like stealing pens from the workplace. It might only be a small thing, but it's still stealing. Equally, swearing that you do might only be a small thing, but it's still swearing. Jesus told us not to do this at all because he understood the importance of having clean lips. Asking for the Lord's help with this, plus ensuring that whatever else you do, you don't continue to use the Lord's name as a swear word, would be a good place to start on the road to having clean lips. Because we need clean lips if we're to speak out for the Lord into this generation during these dark days. I want to finish by reading to you from Malachi chapter 3, and then we're going to watch a short, very short video that some of you will know, but I hope this video will encourage you all not to misuse the Lord's name. But this is Malachi chapter 3, and it says this. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honoured his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.